Welcome back to Rosie on the House in the 8 o'clock Outdoor Living Hour with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm. We're going to get right into it because, like always, we're halfway through the program and a third of the way through the talking points. So we don't want to rush anything, but we don't want to not cover all this great content that you bring every single Saturday when you come down. We were right into a conversation of picking the size, but making sure that the size that you're being told you're purchasing is the size you're in fact paying for.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big thing. So as I mentioned before, we sell a 5 gallon, a 15 gallon, and a 24 inch box tree. And they come from Sunset Citrus Nursery down in Yuma, which is where most of the citrus in the state comes from right now. There are one big grower here. What I have seen other nurseries doing is not real happy with. So that's why I like to have this conversation. So on a 5 gallon tree that should be and it's based on the size of the trunk. So a 5 gallon tree could be a half inch diameter trunk to an inch diameter trunk, probably closer to the half inch diameter trunk. And that's down at the base. There's a graft point. So these days, all citrus is grafted. They put it on a rootstock. We talked rootstock last segment. They put it on a rootstock that does really well here. And then they put the fruiting stock up top. And right about where they graft it, the graft point is, you know, right above that is where you want to look at measuring this.
There's usually a little knot there that kind of makes it obvious.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like a knee. So, you know, there's the, you know, look down at your knee and that's what it kind of looks like. And so right above that, you're looking for, in a 5 gallon, you're looking for half inch to maybe 3/4 of an inch to, if you got a really good one, an inch diameter on the trunk. And a 5 gallon tree should be anywhere from, in the pot, should be anywhere from 3 to 4.5 feet tall.
Okay. From the soil to the top of the...
From the pot, from the ground up. Once it goes in the ground, it'll be, 12 inches shorter because the pot's usually at 12.
Okay, so don't measure from the soil in the pot. Measure from the ground to the top.
From the ground up. Okay. It's going to be, generally it's going to be 3 to 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And on a 15-gallon tree, what we're looking for is a trunk diameter of 3/4 of an inch to up to 2 inches. So, this is getting to be a pretty nice size tree, and it's going to be 4 to 6 feet tall, maybe even 7 feet tall. So here's what I know. We sell a 5 gallon tree right around the mid 40s is what we sell our 5 gallon tree for. The 15 gallon tree we sell for $100. And I have seen some nurseries and stores out there that sell it for quite a bit more than that. So, just use that as a guideline. All of our prices are fair. One of the things that I have seen happen here in the Valley is a store will take a 15-gallon tree and they'll put it in a 24-inch box and they'll sell it to you for a 24-inch box price.
Mm.
So what I have found is that our 15-gallon trees that we sell are like a lot of other places, 24-inch boxes. So now I'm not saying come and get our trees.
But if you're out shopping, take a tape measure.
Take a tape measure. Pay attention because a 24-inch box tree should be 3 to 5 inch diameter at the base. That is a huge tree and up to 9 to 10 feet tall. In fact, when our 24-inch box trees come in on the truck, there's these big box trucks.
It's a flatbed truck. This isn't...
No, these are big box trucks.
It's semi.
Yeah, it's a big box truck. And the 24-inch box trees are bumping against the roof. That's how big they are. So if you're spending $300 or $400 or $500 on a 24-inch box tree, it needs to be significant. And when I say significant, again, 3 to 5 inch... at least 3 to 5 inch diameter on the base of it. And, 9 feet tall is not out of the question, 9 to 10 feet tall.
Yeah, I guess on a flatbed, you might lose a few leaves. And
yeah, you don't ever want to do that. You always want to transport your trees in an enclosed vehicle. Or, when people are coming and getting them from us, we're making sure that we lay them down. Because, and then if somebody's going to drive a long way, it's like, take side streets.
So you can take that information, you can listen to the podcast, write it down, bring a tape measure. If you're out on in the citrus market, make sure you're getting a fair market value for the plant.
You can email me, greg@urbanfarm.org.
Perfect.
You know, then you can come down and see me at the nursery. Check our website, urbanfarm.org, for our nursery hours, because I am more than happy to talk all about fruit trees with you.
Let's jump into the Asian citrus psyllid.
Yes. That's it's not as big of a deal as they had thought it was going to be, but we definitely want to stay conscious of it.
Okay.
So the Asian citrus psyllid is a little bug. It's a sucking bug, so the way it goes in and it latches on the plant and it sucks the liquid out, and it puts this citrus greening disease in the citrus. If it's transmitting it, it's putting it in through the sucking method that it does. So Asian citrus psyllids have been found throughout the state. There's not a big quantity of them. This is directly from Arizona Department of Ag today. I called them just to make sure that I knew what I was, had the latest up-to-date information. They're here, but they're not here in quantity. And the citrus greening disease apparently doesn't like the heat. So it hasn't shown up here. You know, it's devastated the Florida market, right? But
parts
it hasn't.
Of LA.
Yep. It hasn't hit us here, and it seems like the heat's keeping it away. So really what there is to do is, if you want to go identify the citrus psyllid and, you know, see if you have some around, you know, knock yourself out. I don't bother with it. I don't think that it's going to be an issue because of the heat, which is nice. One of the things you can do to collect them is there's a yellow sticky trap. It's just a yellow piece of cardboard with sticky stuff on it, and it collects bugs. And so if you want to check and see if you have some in your neighborhood, you put up a yellow sticky trap and then call the Cooperative Extension. If you have more questions about it, I was directed today to, you know, reach out to the Cooperative Extension agents. So there you go. That's what I know on this Asian citrus psyllid.
What would be a sign that somebody would think, hey, I may have something here I need to put out? Does it start to brown? Do you see holes in the leaves it eaten?
Yeah, good question. I actually don't know. I work on it from the end of health, so I'm always working on, in fact, that's what we're talking about next, is how do you make a healthy tree? Here's what I have found. The healthier your trees, the less susceptible to bugs they are, the less susceptible to disease they are. So really what I'm about is making sure that you grow a healthy tree.
And how do we do that? We've got Farmer Greg's rules and guidelines.
Yeah. So the guidelines, some of the guidelines are around, you know, urban orcharding, keeping your trees small. But I have two hard and fast rules about growing fruit trees, all fruit trees, and really trees in general here in the desert. Number one is my 6-6 rule. Every time you plant a tree, you want to put a 6-foot diameter basin around it with 6 inches of woody mulch in it. That woody mulch, and I know some of you have heard this before, you are going to hear it in ignosium from me because I have seen over the past 5 years the amazing difference that this makes by putting your wood chip basin around it. And really the best thing to do is cover your entire yard with wood chips. Some of us can't do that. I've got flood water, can't do that in my yard. But wood chips, they do multiple things. They absorb water, so they keep it wetter longer for you. They act as an insulator, so they're keeping the heat and the cold out. They're insulating the roots. In your lawn, if you're putting fruit trees in a lawn, that's one of my ways to kill your fruit trees, is if you plant in a lawn, because the sprinklers water every 2 or 3 days, right? That's going to overwater your tree. So by putting 6 inches of woody mulch around your fruit trees in your lawn, that acts as a buffer so that that sprinkler water never makes it down to the roots. And the best part of the wood chips is that the interface between the dirt and the woody mulch, it starts within days. It starts making this absolutely amazing soil like you would find in a forest. And nobody manages a forest, and the trees do great in a forest. And so really what we're doing here with this woody mulch around the trees is we're mimicking the forest. So that's rule number one. I call it my 6-6 rule.
6-foot basin, 6 inches of mulch.
That is a minimum 6-foot basin, 6 inches of woody mulch.
Okay.
Rule number two is what goes in the hole. just a couple of minutes ago, we were talking about creating healthy soil so that we have healthy plants. Here's what it looks like in the end. So a friend of mine comes by the urban farm recently, and I harvest some Caracara navels off of my tree. And I send them, you know, I send her off with, and I get this text late that night. And she said, "Oh my gosh, Greg, what are these?" I could tell by the text, her eyes were wide and she was like, her mouth was watering, right? And I said, "They're a Caracara navel." And she said, "I've never had a Caracara navel that tastes like this." So much of the taste flavor profile for the food that you eat comes with how healthy the soil is. So it's your job and my job to make really healthy soil underneath these trees. The healthier the soil, the better it's going to taste, the longer they're going to live, the more the tree is going to thrive. So when you plant your tree, I suggest the following. 60% organic matter. I sell Farmer Greg's planting mix at the nursery, but some kind of planting mix that you mix with 40% of the native soil. Add an ounce of mycorrhiza. We talked about that last month. That's the life. A pound of azomite. That's micronutrients. And a pound of worm castings, which is just good worm poop. And you mix it all in the wheelbarrow and you plant it. And
castings just looks better on the retail shelf.
There you go. There you go. So that's how you make a healthy tree.
We're in the garden with Farmer Greg. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to the Urban Farm, not the Urban Farm, just urbanfarm.org.
Yep, urbanfarm.org. Yeah.
Just urbanfarm.org. You've got bountiful amount of resources there.
Oh my gosh.
That cover citrus, it covers varieties, it covers fruit trees, it covers everything urban farming. We were talking plants right now, but aquaponics, you talk about.
In our podcast.
And that comes out how often?
Twice a week.
So you get all that at Urban Farm, just urbanfarm.org.